Time to talk money in the morning with Dave Betts from Ameriprise Financial in downtown Port Huron. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
We were just commiserating about the grim state of sports in Southeast Michigan with the Tigers and the Pistons and the Lions and the Red Wings all in rebuilding mode.
All at the same time. So we're sitting here talking about how great it was for the women to win the World Cup, which was awesome.
Absolutely.
Locally, you know. We hear Dennis talk about sports, and it feels like there's not much we can really follow on the sports world. There's just not a lot of good things happening.
No, we just got to look on the horizon. It's like 10 years ago when the economy tanked, and we all thought, well, geez, now what? And here we are, you know, 10, 12 years later, and things have really been booming, haven't they?
Yeah, you know, we're right now in the longest economic expansion in the history of the United States, which is kind of crazy to wrap your mind around.
It really is.
Last August, we celebrated the longest bull market in the history of the United States, so and that obviously is continuing to go, so we're continuing to add to that record. But just recently, we celebrated the anniversary of the longest economic expansion in the history of the United States. So when we talk about what does that mean, economic expansion and all this good stuff, basically what we're talking about is, you know, periods of time between economic pullbacks or also known as recessions. So we started the economic expansion back in June of 2009. So we hit the 10-year anniversary and we're obviously still in expansion mode. So we're right now in that in the midst of the longest expansion in the history of the United States.
Man, that's impressive. Of course, if you talk to anybody that watches the stock market, you say, well, how long is this going to go? We've got to, you know, the pendulum swings both ways. And so while we're on an upswing and have been now, when is it going to, you know, when's the other shoe going to drop?
Yeah, and that's exactly what people are starting to think. You know, when we talk about long expansions and we talk about the longest expansion in the U.S. history and the longest bull market in U.S. history, it's interesting because both of those are the longest, but they're not the best, mm-hmm. right? So when we think about, okay, we've been having this great run, you know, we went through the Great Recession back in 2008 and 2009, and now we've been on a nice upwards movement. But if we compare it to the decades of like the 80s and the 90s, those were also very big periods of economic expansion and very big runs in the stock market.
Yep.
And as far as numbers go, substantially better than what we've dealt with for ours. Ours has just been longer, right? So these last expansions that we're talking about, the bull market and the economic expansion, they've been the longest in U.S. history, but that doesn't necessarily make them the best. But to your point, that's what everybody starts thinking about. We've been expanding for so long, both on the stock market and in the economy. You know, when is this ride going to end, so to speak? And the biggest thing they always tell people is, you know, the expansions don't die from old age. The bull market doesn't die of old age. So they don't. We don't just have a recession because we haven't had one in a while, right? We don't just have a bear market because we haven't had one in a while.
True.
It's just not the way that works. Now, that's the feeling that we get,
yeah.
right? We're due. I got a feeling that we're due, you know, going back to the sports adage.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Eventually you're going to run into one or something. But we don't actually, you know, go through a recession or go through a bull market just because we haven't had one in a while. We don't go on a calendar basis with those things. So, when we think about when recessions come, what are the results of those? How does that happen? Usually it's some sort of imbalance in the economy. You know, if we think about the housing bubble that we had back in 2007, we kind of had that big bubble in the real estate market. Mm-hmm. That bubble popped, and we saw the result of that was, you know, the Great Recession, essentially. And then the dot-com bubble going way back, to the late 90s.
Right.
That bubble burst in the early 2000s, and we went through a pretty big recession. So, despite the longevity of the current expansion, you know, the U.S. economy still seems to be on a pretty solid footing.
So what could create a setback in today's economy?
Yeah, so if you say, okay, well, the old age isn't the thing that causes it, if it just doesn't happen because we haven't had one for a while, what will cause that? And the answer for that is the problem with that is no one knows, right? It's something unforeseen.
We all like to think that we can figure it out, because hindsight is 20/20. So everything that has happened before, we kind of say, oh, well, we should have seen that coming. And so now we say, well, we got to be looking for something.
And people are looking, believe me, rock is being overturned.
Right.
Everybody's looking for something. Everybody wants to be the one that can predict the next doomsday, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You can get on you get sucked in the wormhole of being online, and everybody wants to, you know, predict the next market, you know, crash. Everybody
exactly.
wants to predict the next economic crash. But there's nothing that you can do really to predict it necessarily, and no one can predict the future. One of the things I always tell clients is I can always tell you when the stock market hit the all-time highs and the all-time lows, but just we have to wait for them to happen because we can't see into the future. So, you know, predicting those, you know, events are virtually impossible. So analysts and investors, they're watching the key global trends. They're looking for insights and warning signals of when that's going to happen. But there is no way to know for sure when that's coming. Now, when we think about what are some things that are there causing some issues right now, obviously the trade turmoil that we're mm-hmm. having right now is probably the most notable risk that we have. So we have the two U.S., the two largest economies in the world, the U.S. and China,
yep.
kind of having a spat over trade issues, and that is something that could push us into a recession. If we think about other things that are happening globally, we had the Brexit thing, right? So the U.K. voted to leave the European Union, and they're still working that through. So those are the types of things that could cause some issues. We obviously are have, you know, when we think about the Federal Reserve, will they cut rates? Will they continue to raise rates? I just heard the president the other day talking about how the Fed desperately needs to cut rates. And it's interesting. It's very unusual to see the Federal Reserve cutting rates in a time of economic expansion. So although the president's calling for that, I mean, those are the types of things that could potentially spark a little bit of a downturn. But I don't see, and I think most people that are following these types of things don't see, there's nothing on that immediate horizon that looks like it's going to cause us any kind of issue.
Well, it, like you said, it's going to be something unforeseen. It's going to be something that sneaks up on us that we don't know. So how do we prepare for that that kind of economic uncertainty?
Well, you know, one of the things we think about is, if we have no way to know when it's coming, you know, what do we do to prepare for it? And, you know, the markets do move in more normal cycles. You know, yep. the market moves in cycles, the economy moves in cycles, the moon, the oceans, everything seems to have cycles.
Right.
And the economy and the market are no different. So if we think about it, if you're nervous about what's going on, if we're, you know, feeling like we're at that point where we're waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know, there are a few things that you can do. The first thing that I'd say is, number one is you'd want to maintain a properly diversified portfolio that represents your views on risk. So we talk about diversification a lot, not having all of your eggs in one basket.
Yep.
So taking a look at your portfolio, maybe if your portfolio was designed to be a 50% stock, 50% bond portfolio, and you haven't kind of weeded the garden in a while with the market going up like it has, maybe that portfolio has shifted to where it's 60 or 70 or even 80% stocks now. Maybe it's a good time to kind of rebalance things back out. Number two, you focus on owning quality investments. So what do we mean by quality investments? So what we're talking about, maybe more well-established stocks, blue chip stocks, right? The large household name stocks. If we don't know the company and know what they do, maybe we want to start shying away from some of those more aggressive stocks, because during a downturn, they tend to be a little bit, you know, have a bigger downturn, and maybe some high quality bonds instead of the lower rated junk rated bonds. So I think that's something else that we could take a look at. The other thing we think about is, although the market downturns are painful and we go through that, you know, we feel like mm-hmm. we've had this major loss, sometimes we have to look at the bright side of that, which sometimes those are buying opportunities, right?
Yep.
So while the existing asset investments that we own, those investment assets that we own have dropped in value, the ones that we're looking to buy just got cheaper.
True.
Right?
Yep.
So that's one of the things that we need to look at. And then the other thing you think about is, you know, the time frame.
Yeah.
You know, the fourth thing I would say is, if you have decades before you're going to withdraw your investments, you know, the downturn is not necessarily a bad thing. So it's possible those volatile markets can actually work in your favor, and that power of compound interest comes into play. On the flip side, if it's something you're going to need the money right away,
mm-hmm.
maybe that's a good time to kind of reallocate to something more conservative. So you and I talk about every once in a while, the longer term,
yep.
you know, the more aggressive you can be. The
yep.
shorter term, the more conservative we need to be. So if retirement's right around the corner for you and we're right near that finish line, maybe that's a good time to revisit the portfolio and get into something a little bit more conservative and take a look at where you are on that spectrum.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, if you really don't have an idea of what it is you should be doing, I'd say the fifth thing that I'd recommend is just sit down with a financial advisor, talk about your situation, see where you are now, see where you want to go, and see if that person can help you map out a good game plan.
Makes perfectly good sense. And if somebody wants to set up that appointment to see you, Dave, what do they need to do?
You can contact me at my office. The phone number is 810-987-5370. Office is located right downtown Port Huron at 527 Huron Avenue.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Dave. Dave Betts from Ameriprise Financial in downtown Port Huron. Money in the Morning on WPHM.